Hello, this is Pastor Richie from Ebenezer Baptist Church. I want to welcome everyone to our website and to this morning's message. And first and foremost, I want to let everybody know that's listening, I love them. Praying for you during these days of difficulty. I also want to wish all those that are listening a happy Mother's Day. I'm sure that this is going to be probably one of the most unique Mother's Days that most have experienced. But again, happy Mother's Day to those that are able to be listening today. The events of these past weeks, as well as those that lie before us, are simply unprecedented. The generation that's alive today has probably not seen such unstable times as we have with this pandemic called the coronavirus or COVID-19. And as I have experienced these past few days as being out and about in the community and listening to media and all the outlets out there today with just communicating, one of the things that's been standing out to me as I've been listening to people try to debate the cause or even the concerns of this worldwide pandemic, it's one of the things that has stood out to me the most is just how people are panicking and how much there is a lack of peace out there today surrounding all these just the turmoil that we're facing. Just a few days ago, I was in the store, a local store, and I was walking down the aisles. I thought to myself, where am I? Am I in a third world country? Because I'm walking down the aisles and there are no canned goods, there are no pastas, there are no, the bread was gone, cereals gone, meat, chicken gone, all these different just food items that you would always see the shelves full of are simply just bare. And again, it just crossed my mind. It stood out to me how much people during these times are panicking and how much there is a lack of peace. And that being said, I want to begin today's message by asking a series of questions. And the first question that I want to ask is, do you have a perfect peace? Now, if I were to ask you, do you believe in God? Most, if not all, of us who are listening would say with certainty, well, yes, of course I do. And if I were to ask, do you know God? Better yet, does he know you? Many, if not most of us, again, would say yes. But if I were to ask you, do you have a deep, consistent, abiding sense of peace? I suspect that there are some that might simply say, no, I don't. I really don't. You know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the meanings for the words peace and salvation are nearly synonymous. Yet many of us who claim to be saved do not experience consistent peace. The difficulty with most of us is that there's a great discrepancy between what we believe and how we feel and think. Now, we may be sure that we are secure in our salvation, but yet we find sometimes it hard to get through our daily life with a strong sense of God's peace. To help better understand and even evaluate our own personal perspective on peace, I want to begin today's message with a survey regarding personal peace. And as I ask these questions, I want you to answer with of either four options. One, never. Two, rarely. Three, often. Or four, consistently. So again, never, rarely, often, or consistently. That will be one of the four answers you can choose from to each of the questions I'm going to ask. The first question I want to ask you is this: do you have peace of mind? Or is your mind filled with unforgiven memories, unfulfilled plans, and frustrating disappointments? Right at this moment, can you say that your mind is at peace? Do you have peace of mind? Again, choose from the four options: never, rarely, often, or consistently. Next question. Are your feelings at peace? Do you feel at peace right now? Are you free from smoldering anger, overwhelming fears, frustrations, and even envy? Again, are your feelings at peace? Never, rarely, often, or consistently. Do you have a sense of peace about your desires? Are you clear about God's will for your life? Do you trust in His daily guidance? Are you free from conflict about what you want versus what God wants? Again, never, rarely, often, or consistently. Since relationship with people have so much to do with our experience of peace, let me ask you, do you let others rob you of peace? Are you at peace with others? Never, rarely, often, or consistently. What about circumstances? Do you allow circumstances such as what we're facing today with the coronavirus to disrupt your ability to be at peace? Or do you remain calm in the face of trouble or trials? Never, rarely, often, or consistently. Finally, is your body at peace? Or are you strained by stress, agitation, nervousness, worry, fear? Or are you free from tension, headaches brought on by worry, tight muscles, high blood pressure? Or do you have a calmness in your body? Never, rarely, often, or consistently. Did you notice something about this survey? How it included a person's whole being, their body, their soul, and their spirit. That's because true peace is affected by how we think and what we feel, who we are, what we do. True peace cannot be broken by life's storms. True peace cannot be altered by a mass pandemic like the coronavirus. And again, do we have that kind of peace? Do I? If not, then why? Why don't we have perfect peace? Well, to answer this most important question, as we face such unsettling times, I want us to consider a passage this morning from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 26. I want us to consider a passage that has been a tremendous help to me during difficult times, during times of despair and distress. Again, the book of Isaiah. It's in the Old Testament, and we are going to be looking at chapter number 26, verses 3 and 4. Again, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. And as you're turning there, I want to encourage you that as we study this passage today, I want to encourage you to take the time that you have during these days ahead, and I want to encourage you to memorize this passage of Scripture, Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Put it to memory. Listen, I can't encourage everyone enough that to not allow the social distancing to influence spiritual distancing in our lives. Spend time with God. Spend this quiet time that God is giving us. In some ways, it's a gift that we can get alone with Him and enjoy His fellowship and let Him become our portion. Let Him fill the void of emptiness in our life and spend time with Him and allow His Word to encourage us and strengthen us. And again, this is a passage that has done this for me time and time again, and I want to encourage you to memorize it. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4. Let's read that together. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." You know, the 26th chapter of Isaiah is a strategic place to find the answer to our question that we're considering today. Do we have perfect peace? It was written as a song for the people of Israel to sing both in repentance and return to the Lord. Its implications and application for us at such a time as this are unmistakable. The people of Judah and especially Jerusalem had abandoned the way of faith in God for dependence on foreign powers such as Aram. The result was neither political nor personal peace. They did not realize that security cannot be found in associative strength or in sturdy self-reliance. It was not until they understood this that they could return to the Lord, who is the only source of peace in the time of turmoil. For many of us, we too we're like the people of Judah. We abandon what we know to be our only source of strength and hope. We exchange the security of our Savior for self-reliance, or even today, social media. And as a result, we lack the peace that God promises to provide. Listen, He alone can and will fill this void for our lives. So this morning, as we consider the question, do we have perfect peace? First of all, I want us to consider the promise of perfect peace, found at the beginning of verse number 3, the promise of perfect peace. And first of all, Isaiah, he focuses on the provider. Who is it that provides this promise of perfect peace? And he used the word thou. Who he's referring to here is God, Almighty God. Listen, I cannot encourage you enough that perfect peace, it begins with God. There's no way around this, all right? There's no shortcut around this reality that simply without God, there is no peace. And I'm going to encourage you today, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, if you've never trusted Him to forgive you of your sin, listen, today is the day. And at the end of the message, I'm going to encourage you and explain to you how that can possibly take place. And I'm going to also point you to a link on our website that you can go to that can explain to you verse by verse how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. But again, a promise is only as good as the person that makes it. Man makes promises all the time that he is either not capable of keeping or never really had any intentions of keeping in the first place. Think about it. I mean, how many times has a person made a promise to you that they simply did not deliver on? Or how about yourself? How often do we make promises that we have not simply kept? You know, as a pastor or just being in the ministry for a number of years now, I sadly so often people will make promises to me all the time that they simply cannot or will not fulfill. Pastor, I promise I'll be in church on Sunday morning. I promise I'll be back at church on Sunday night. I promise to come on Wednesday. I promise to look at this passage. I promise to pray. I promise to read my Bible. And yet, sadly, people simply just don't follow through. Yet we read here that the one who makes this very promise is the only one who is able and always able to keep his promises. I love what Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant." That word covenant means promises. "And mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Think about it for a moment. All powerful, all knowing, all sufficient, all present, Almighty God, who is truth, makes this very promise to you and I. I don't know about you, but that should give us great comfort. We can have complete confidence in the promise that is provided in this verse because of the very fact that God himself has made it. And who better to make this promise than the God of peace, as well as the Father of the Prince of Peace? Again, a promise is only as good as the person that makes it. So we see the provider of this promise, Isaiah points out, but he also talks about the permanency of this promise. As he says there in verse number 3, he says that thou wilt keep. That word wilt means will. God will keep. The word keep literally means to guard. God will not only deliver on his promise of perfect peace, but he will also stand guard to ensure that it is protected. Wow, what a promise from Almighty God. So again, to ask the question this morning, do we have a perfect peace? First of all, we've considered the promise of perfect peace. Now I want us to look at the place of perfect peace. The place of perfect peace. In verse number 3, he says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." Now, the inhabitants of Judea had been born to a far distant land. They've been subjected to reproaches and to scorn and have been stripped of their property and honor and have been reduced to the condition of prisoners and captives. Yet their confidence in God had not been shaken. They still trusted in him, still believed that he could and would deliver them. Their mind was therefore kept in entire peace. And when you look at this passage, you study out this phrase, perfect peace, you realize in the Hebrew, this word peace is being repeated. Peace, peace. In the Hebrew, it's shalom, shalom. And in the Hebrew language, this gives a great emphasis. It means it's an intensity. This peace is the kind of peace that is intense and it's undisturbed. Again, it's perfect. It's simply complete. See, God makes a promise that he himself will keep us in perfect peace. Think about that for a moment. He doesn't just offer us peace. He offers us perfect peace. And this is the kind of peace that is available to us when we face the darkest of life circumstances, when we face the most difficult of storms. This is the kind of peace that we can have when we receive bad news, such as what we face with the coronavirus. It's the perfect peace that comes from knowing that God is in control and he has our best interest at heart. Our confidence is now in him and not in ourselves or in our circumstance. I love what Charles Wesley says. He says, I rest beneath the Almighty shade. My griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, will keep me still in perfect peace. God is the provider, and he promises to keep us in perfect peace. What a tremendous promise. So today, as we ask the question, do we have perfect peace? We've considered the promise of perfect peace. Secondly, I want us to look at the place of, or we've looked secondly at the place of perfect peace. But thirdly, this morning, I want us to consider now the provision of perfect peace. It's interesting here. We shift now from the promise to the practicality of this perfect peace. We shift from who makes it possible to how now is it possible. And he goes on in verse number 3. He says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." God says that he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Here we see the condition that must be met if we're to experience perfect peace. And this key condition is that we must keep our minds stayed. The word stayed literally means settled or established upon the Lord himself. To be in perfect peace is a matter of our mind. Again, this is a key. And yet this is where we really struggle. And it's with our thought lives. Now, right now, some of you that are listening, your minds have wandered already. Because we're not able to come together face to face. You're distracted by whatever's going on all around you. And as a result, you've stopped listening and you're missing out. And I want to encourage you to come back in and bring your focus back. But again, this is why we struggle so often as Christians. We get distracted. We get distracted or we lose attention and it's taken away from God's word. You know, it's been said physically that we are what we eat. And that is so true. Whatever it is that we choose to consume, it will shape us, it will mold us, right? Well, spiritually speaking, I want you to understand something today. We are what we think. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It is so true. We act like who we think we are. Our thought life is so significant. Our thoughts are so powerful. I want you to realize something today. We cannot change the way we act until we first change the way we think. I'll say that again. We cannot change the way we act until we first change the way we think. Peace here involves the mind, a mind that is simply stayed, a mind that is focused, a mind that is established on God. You know, people tend to wear their emotions on their sleeves. It's never really too difficult to tell what a person is feeling. At the same time, it's really never too difficult to discern what's going on in a person's soul either. Our soul is the will to do or to be. Again, you can recognize what's going on with another person's soul by simply looking at what they're doing. I mean, how they're behaving or what it is they're desiring or wanting to be. But the mind, that's not as easy. It's really hard to determine what a person is thinking. In the mind is where the battle for sin is either won or lost. And we have to realize that thoughts are real and they're powerful. And even though they cannot be seen, weighed, or measured, and to be kept in perfect peace, our mind, God says here, must be stayed on him. It must be established on him. It must be simply focused on him. And Isaiah says in verse number 3, in the Hebrew word stayed, it comes from the root word, means to prop. It has the idea of to lean upon or to take hold of, to bear up, to establish, to sustain. So the question we have to ask ourselves during these days of difficulty, such like we're facing today, is what is it that sustains your mind? What are you thinking on? What are you constantly focused on? What are you leaning your mind upon? To have perfect peace, we cannot occasionally come to God. Instead, we must keep our minds completely stayed on him, ever established on him. I love it. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Listen, I want to encourage you with this passage, this verse here. Sometimes we have a tendency to let our minds wander and race, and we think things that are simply not true, and they run wild, and we get overwhelmed with fear and worry and anxiety and depression and despair and discouragement. And I want you at those times to stop and ask yourself, am I thinking the way God wants me to think right now? Are these thoughts the kind of thoughts that God wants me to have? And if they're not, here's what you need to do. You need to bring them into captivity. You need to bring them into captivity. Bring them in. You give those thoughts to God. And then you give God the key to your thought life and say, God, you and only you have access. Turn your thought lives over to God again and give him the key. A proper thought life is the key ingredient here to perfect peace. You know, if you remember the Apostle Paul, he was able to write the letter to the Philippians. It's a letter that is themed with joy. That's the theme of the letter written to the book of the believers in Philippi, the Philippian believers. And believe it or not, he actually writes this letter from a jail cell. And in this jail cell, he is waiting trial where he is going to be either acquitted or beheaded. And yet he's still able to write a letter to encourage other Christians to have joy. Why? Because he had experienced perfect peace through a proper thought life. And I want you, if you can, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8 for a moment. Keep your finger in Isaiah 26. We're going to come back to it to see the rest of these two verses, verses 3 and 4. But I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And this is a really good book that I can't encourage enough. Maybe during these times that we have right now, we're in isolation or whatever it may be, and I want to encourage you to read the book of Philippians, because again, it talks about having joy despite our circumstances, joy despite our situation, joy despite the storms, joy despite people, and having the right mind, the mind of Christ. And I want to encourage you to maybe take some time to read through the book of Philippians a few times, even if you can. But look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes in verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing. The word careful means anxious. He's saying, or worry. He's saying, don't worry about anything. And he goes on and says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests may be known unto God. He's saying, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. And he says to do it with an attitude of gratitude, with thanksgiving, knowing that God is going to work things all out for his good. And he goes on in verse number 7, and he says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. When we begin to trust God and pray and give him our concerns, our worries, God begins to provide a peace for us. Sometimes we simply cannot even understand. And he says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. Well, interesting, that word keep, there's the same word that we're looking at here in Isaiah 26, verse 3. The word keep means guard. He will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So he says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, and God will provide the peace, and he will guard it. Guard your hearts, guard your minds. And then he goes on in verse number 8 and makes it real practical. He says, here's the things you should be doing, He says, don't worry, you need to pray, all right? And he says, and here's what God will do. God will provide peace. But then he gives a list in verse number 8 of things that we should be thinking on. He says, don't be thinking about all these negative things that can rob you of your peace, but instead think on these things. He gives a list of things that will help you to find peace. And he says, finally, brethren, so he's writing to Christians in verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of a good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul's saying, listen, think on things that are true. Don't think about lies. Don't think about things that are simply not true. Maybe sometimes during these times you're going to think I'm all alone, no one cares, or that God has forgotten me, that God has forsaken me, or why would this, or why God? Listen to me. Don't think things about God that are simply not true. God is faithful. God has not left you. He will. He is very present, and he cares for you, and he wants you to bring your cares to him. And so don't think on things that are simply just not true. Don't fill your head full of lies. But instead, he says, think on things that are pure, lovely, of a good report, things that are praiseworthy. What he's saying is this. You ever sometimes think on things that you're like, if anybody knew I was thinking this right now, I'd be very embarrassed. I don't want anybody to know what I'm thinking right now. You wouldn't want to talk about it, right? You wouldn't want anybody to know about it. Well, Paul's saying, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think on things in such a way that your thought life is so pure that you'd have no problem talking to other people about the very things that you're thinking on, to have a pure thought life, things that are simply worth talking about, things that are praiseworthy, things that are encouraging. Fill your mind with the things that, again, that will build you up and strengthen you. During these days when you're discouraged, I want you to even sit down and make a list of things you can praise God for who God is and what he is doing in your life. And if you said, if I can't find anything right now, Richie, listen, if you are saved, you got something to praise God for each and every day that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know you're going to heaven. Praise him. In order for us to have a perfect peace, our minds have to be stayed on God. We have to remind ourselves of the truths of God and his attributes and make sure that we're believing the things that are true, especially about who God is. So again, to answer the question, do we have perfect peace? We've considered the promise of perfect peace. We've looked at the place of perfect peace, the provision of perfect peace. Now let's look at the precursor to perfect peace. And he goes on in verse number 3, and he says, because he trusted in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Here, we are reminded once more that perfect peace is conditional. It's a choice. It's not automatic. In order for us to experience perfect peace, we saw that we have to keep our minds stayed on God. And we see here that the reason we keep our minds stayed or standing firm on him is because we trust him. And that's the key question that we have to answer today is who or what are you trusting in? Now, if you're trusting in your finances to get you through this international pandemic, listen, they're going to run out. If you're trusting in the healthcare system, again, it will fail because the system will at some point fail. If you're trusting in anything or anyone other than God to get you through this time of great instability, you will sadly see quickly that you've built your foundation on something that will sink when tested by the storms. The only answer to perfect peace is simply trusting in the Prince of Peace. It's Jesus Christ. He alone is the answer, and he will give you perfect peace. I love what Jesus says. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, when we look at this passage in Isaiah, it's so important to understand that trust and faith are synonymous. And every person has to take careful inventory of their faith and ask the question, is my faith where it needs to be? And the only way we can know is based on how well we know God and his word. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, if you want your faith to grow stronger, then you've got to get to know God better. And the way you do that is by being in God's word. Once again, I can't encourage you enough. Don't let social distancing encourage spiritual distancing. Take this time. Spend time in God's word. Get alone with God. Get to know him. Get to know his promises. Be comforted by his very word. Let me ask you, do you trust God today with the circumstances that seem to have our lives in a place of chaos and confusion? Do we have perfect peace despite the storm? Again, I love this passage. I love this verse. I remember how practical it applied to my life back in May of 2018. My family was getting ready to move here to this country, and the process of moving is just so complicated and with visas and shipping if you're going to move your home and all that's involved, the paperwork and everything. And because it takes so long to move your home, it takes months and months and months. You actually have to begin that process before you even begin the process to get a visa. And so I remember we were at the place where it was time to ship everything we had in a container to come here to the country of Wales. And I remember the morning when the movers were coming to load everything that we had in boxes and put it in a container. And I remember walking around the house and looking and seeing everything that we had. And I'm thinking to myself, Richie, you don't even have your visa yet, but yet you're still about to send everything you have off and on some ship to be sent overseas. And I remember my heart being so overwhelmed immediately, thinking, what am I doing? Oh my goodness. And I remember God just reminding me of this verse. Richie, are you keeping your mind on me? Are you keeping your mind stayed on me? I'll give you perfect peace. Do you trust me? And God's word brought me comfort. You know, just days later, our visas were approved, praise God. And obviously, we are here now in the country of Wales. But once again, we're going to face storms. We're going to face trials. We're going to face difficulties, times of simply being overwhelmed. But the question is, who are we trusting in? And we want to close out this morning by looking at verse number 4. Look at this powerful verse. It says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, we began this message by asking the question, do we have perfect peace? If not, consider, what is it that you're thinking on? And who are you trusting in? What are you relying upon during these days of difficulty? Listen, don't, again, allow social distancing to influence or encourage spiritual distancing. Draw nigh to God. And he says, he promises he will draw nigh to thee. Listen, if you're saved today, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, may I ask you, what are you thinking on throughout the day to give you peace? What is it, or who is it that you're trusting in? Jesus promises in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He promises, like we saw in Philippians 4:7, that he will give us a peace that passes all understanding when we keep our hearts and minds on him. During these times of uncertainty, remember Jesus' promises and allow him to provide perfect peace. After all, he is the Prince of Peace. If you're listening today and you're not saved, by that I mean you're not forgiven, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, listen, perfect peace is only found in the Prince of Peace. And today, your greatest need is to be forgiven of your sin and to know that you're going to heaven. So how do I know that? Because when 24 years old, I too was told that very same thing, and I realized I was a sinner in need of salvation, and I made the greatest decision of my life. I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm going to heaven simply by what God's Word says. Listen, Jesus loves you so much. He died to pay the sin debt that you owe. And today he stands before you with arms wide open. He's waiting for you to finally come to him for forgiveness. And if you're ready to come to him today, then there are a few things you've got to understand. First, you've got to admit that you are a sinner. Our sin separates us from God. We're all sinners, the Bible says in Romans 3:23. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sin separates us from him. You've got to not only admit that, but you've got to believe that Jesus died to pay for our sin debt. You've got to believe that he rose again. And you got to be willing to repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Turn from yourself. And turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior. And that could be done today. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here's what I want to do today. Again, for those that are listening out there, maybe you're not saved, and today's the day you're ready to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, again, we've got to call upon him and ask him to forgive you and to save you. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to lead in a word of prayer. And if you've never been saved, you've never prayed this prayer before, you've never asked Christ to come into your life, I want to encourage you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need to be saved. I know you died on the cross to pay for my sin. I know you were buried and you rose again. Today I ask you to come into my heart and save me from my sin. Thank you so much for saving me. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today, the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And I want to encourage you, let us know, share this good news with us. Rejoice in what Jesus has done for you today. You can go there on the website. You can send us an email. My mobile number is actually on the website. You can send a text or call, but I want to encourage you, let us know. And you say, well, Richie, I'm just not ready to be saved yet. I got more questions. Listen, again, after this message, go to the website. You're already on there anyway. Click on the Do You Know link, and it'll explain to you verse by verse from the Bible how you can be forgiven and know you're going to heaven. That is your greatest need. Again, believers, I long for the day when we're able to come together again, and I look forward to the time that we're able to worship together again face to face. I hope that maybe during this time of being away from each other, we will really fully appreciate to even a greater magnitude how blessed we are to have such a wonderful church, and people will not compromise ever again when it comes to church attendance, that we'll make it the priority it needs to be and be in God's house whenever the doors are open. But until then, we'll be praying for each other and encouraging one another, and I'll be sending out messages like I am right now through our website. But again, Please know that I'm praying for you, love you, and long to get a chance to, again, when we in the future get to come back together to worship together. Let's close with a word of prayer. God, we do again love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise, God, of perfect peace. Thank you, God, that you're the one that provides and you protect it. God, thank you that you make it so clear that we can have perfect peace, but it's conditional. We've got a choice to make, God. It depends on how we're going to think, if our minds are going to be stayed on you, focused on you. And if so, God, you will provide that peace for our lives. Help us to think the way you want us to think. Help us to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. God, again, help us not to worry. Help us to bring every request, every concern, every care to you, God, and thank you that you hear us. Thank you, God. Once again, you'll never leave us. You won't forsake us. You're going to see us through this storm. And we look forward, God, to all that you're going to do in us and through us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Again, thank you so much for checking in.